Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster. Do we have any shortage of things to talk about today? No, we have plenty to talk about. Just updating that police chief story. The deputy chief in Dallas says he's out of the running. So pretty much expect that the chief in Richmond, California, Christopher Magnus, will be the selection of the Tucson City Council. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen, producing and engineering our show. On the other side of the glass, we get things rolling middle of November already, November 16th, the Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. The Wildcats pulled it out in double overtime. Exciting game for folks who stuck around at the stadium. The game not concluding till almost midnight, but so that's good for the Cats. They'll get into a bowl game and hopefully beat ASU this weekend. So a lot going on. We begin every Monday afternoon with our Monday political face-off, and then at 12:30, our Arizona Monthly Business Journal with the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, followed at 12:45, Dr. Mark Sykes of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. The live line number 790-2040, the Facebook page under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and you can follow us at Buckmaster Show on Twitter. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned, too many Fs, family-owned since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Our team of commentators today, Mr. Bruce Ash is with us in his third term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Bruce always sits to my right, and Paul Eckerstrom sits to my left. Paul's the former chair of the state and Pima County Democratic Party. How are you guys today?
Good, except I had to spend the weekend in Phoenix.
But what were you doing up there?
Oh, my fiance's taken a temporary job up there. So,
oh,
yeah.
Well, okay.
But you know, besides that, seeing the Utah score was really nice.
Very nice, and we've got a nice kind of cool, blustery day, bringing in, making us think about the upcoming holidays. Bruce, how was your holiday? Meaning weekend.
It was it was dandy. It started out with the U of A spanking the University of Pacific on Friday night, and followed up by that great win on Saturday night with the football team. I commented to my son, who went to the game with me, as the first overtime started, we have them just where we want them, and we did. We had them all the way.
Lots of news to talk about. Let's begin with the situation, of course, the horrible terrorist attacks in Paris on Friday night. There are reports now that Arizona will be refusing to take any more Syrian refugees, joining at least five other states. Bruce, is that a good move?
Well, I think it's smart for Governor Ducey joining with other governors, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's not a lot more here shortly, until there can be proper authentication and verification of backgrounds and nationalities and really understanding who these folks are. This is not the Vietnamese boat people. This is not the Cuban refugees. These are people, some of them, even if it's one half of 1%, who do potentially offer a significant security risk here in this country. There are approximately 2 million refugees who have sought to move into Western Europe, and we see not just the problems we saw the other night in Paris. And don't forget, there's been almost 500 human lives who have been killed in the last couple of weeks, all of them linked to ISIS, all of them linked to Islamic terror. And this is a problem in Denmark. It's a problem in Germany. It's a problem from Greece and Turkey all the way through the UK. And it's not something that we can just say, well, fine, you know, come on into the country, and there's not going to be any problems with potential security risks.
Paul, what do you think?
I think it's a political grandstand by Ducey. Look at we have a little better situation than the Europeans, where the Syrians are just flooding into Europe, and it's very hard to screen them. The people we would be taking, we'd be heavily screened and made sure that they're safe, that they're just refugees fleeing the same terrorism that we're seeing play out on the world stage in France and other places. And we're giving people, I mean, we help people in need and in desperate situations. So our situation is a little different in that they have to come across an ocean. We can put in a very, very strict screening regimen to make sure that they're not terrorists who are slipping through. So I don't think we should be excluding the people. We should be welcoming some of them to help take the pressure off of our European allies. But at the same time, we need to, I think, solve the situation in Syria so that these refugees can go back home and have a safe place to live. And, you know, it's a complex situation. And I will say one thing. Mm-hmm. I'm somebody that's not into military intervention.
And what is the solution in your opinion?
My opinion is we need to build a coalition where we get true boots on the ground to defeat ISIL in those in Syria, in Iraq.
Who will lead the coalition?
It has to be Arabic and Muslim nations like Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Jordan. They have to be providing the ground troops. We can support them, but it can't be Western allies or the United States, because there's a long memory in the Muslim community back to the Crusades, and that would just be kind of replaying that for them, and they wouldn't accept it. And so I think if we can build a coalition where the troops on the ground are going to be Muslim troops fighting ISIS, that's the way to do it.
Bruce, how does this change the presidential, the rhetoric now on the campaign trail? Donald Trump has said very recently that we should go in and bomb the heck out of, he didn't use the word heck, but he used something we can't say on the radio, to bomb ISIL. How is the rhetoric going to change?
Well, thanks for asking the question, Bill. I side with Paul on several of the areas that he just pointed out as a potential solution. For Republicans, national security has been maybe at the forefront of the campaign for some period of time. The Democrats the other night in their debate, which I thought was curious, it was scheduled in Iowa the same night that the University of Iowa was playing the University of Minnesota in a very, very important football game. There must have been about 17 people in all of Iowa tuned into the game. In fact, CBS...
You mean tuned into the debate.
I'm sorry, tuned into the debate.
You said to the game. Yeah. Okay. Just the opposite for the game.
There was nearly a 50% drop-off overall. And, why not? You want to watch LSU and Arkansas play or Arizona play. You're not going to necessarily take time to watch these Democrats debate. The Republicans actually treat national security as a very serious problem. When pressed the other night, all of the candidates still believe, astonishingly, that global climate change is a bigger issue, is a more immediate problem than the threat from Islamic terrorism. And in fact, the President of the United States, for some reason, still can't get those words out of his mouth. And if you can't identify the enemy of Western civilization, then I don't think, Paul, with due respect, because I think there's a lot of people who would take up your strategy that you've suggested, unless you identify your enemy, unless you quantify the type of force that you're going to use, you can't win that war.
Well, I agree the air campaign isn't going to win the war. You've got to dislodge ISIS from those towns, you've got to have ground troops. And the Iraqi military isn't good enough. The Kurds are the only ones really fighting. We need actual...
We're not giving them any help, hardly.
We are now. But the problem really boils down to is we need a professional military boots on the ground in those countries to take out ISIS. And the way to do it is with Turkey, and Saudi Arabia and Jordan, the Muslim countries that have a lot at stake to make sure that ISIS doesn't succeed. And we can support them. We can support them with air power. We can support them with intelligence. We can support them with arms. But we can't be the tip of the spear any of the Western allies can't be the tip of the spear for this because of the history of all this. And so I think, you know, and that's going to take a lot of diplomacy and a lot of cajoling by the administration. And I think, frankly, I think in one regard, politically, I think this helps Hillary Clinton seal the Democratic nomination. And I think she's pretty well situated, being as experienced as she is in foreign policy, to do well in the general election as well on this issue.
Paul and Bill, the Kurds have begged for weapons and all sorts of technical assistance. The Egyptians have begged for military gear. The Jordanian king wants our help. The Saudis want our help. The Emiratis and the Bahrainians all want our help. We have not given it to them. The administration says one thing and then does another. Whether it was Secretary Clinton or Secretary Kerry, there has been a lot of rhetoric and not a lot of follow-up and not a lot of backbone that's shown. I'm sure that the Turks and other Middle Eastern countries, Paul, have a well-organized military. However, and they probably train with us at the National War College,
and
participate in different, you know, war games and so on. However, the finest troops, the best trained, the best equipped, and the most professional troops in the entire world belong to the United States Armed Forces.
All right, we're going to pause right here, change topics, talk about Tucson. Should the city appeal the court ward-only election ruling? Mr. Ash had a very personal stake in all of this. We'll find out about that with Paul Eckerstrom right after this.
Einstein once said, as the bees go, so do humans. Five-star professional pest control techs have another option rather than killing the bees. We can remove them. This bee removal option is safe, effective, and next time you have a swarm of bees enter your personal space, call us and let us remove these bees. We have professional technicians on call 7 days a week, 886-0045.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
What if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson. Well, 20 on this Monday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show. The Tucson-based Arizona Daily Star, their editorial in Sunday's paper, Tucson's unusual system of electing its city council members has been declared unconstitutional by a 3-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which said the ward-only primary election and at-large general election violates the principle of one person, one vote. The city could appeal the decision, but the Star recommends the city does not do that. Instead, the Star editorialized that the council should refer 3 questions to the ballot, preferably in May, when there will be a statewide education funding proposition before voters. Question 1, should voters elect council members by ward in both the primary and general elections? Question 2, should voters elect council members at large in both the primary and general? And question 3, should city council and mayoral elections be nonpartisan? Bruce Ash, what do you think? Since you were involved, by the way, you and a couple of other parties brought this original lawsuit that the Ninth Circuit heard.
Well, I was joined by plaintiffs who really did have a very significant stake in how city elections are run, because nearly all of them ran for Tucson City Council, and they're to be admired for their patriotism and good citizenship running and then standing up in this lawsuit. The Arizona Daily Star is trying to play all ends against the middle. I admire them for taking up the cause. Really, the only answer, I think, and it's one that has been discussed and has been endorsed by Jeff Rogers, who's a former Democratic Party chairman here in Pima County, somebody that Paul's very familiar with. Mm-hmm. Even Paul has said that he favors perhaps looking at ward-only elections. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan Rothschild, mayor of Tucson, has both privately as well as publicly stated the same. It would to me show a lot of good faith by all the city council and by those individuals as well to not appeal the ruling from the Ninth District, and I think that's a good step to create better representation. It's not to say that Shirley Scott doesn't represent anybody in her ward, or that Paul Cunningham doesn't support anybody in his ward, you know, who didn't vote for him, but when it is just telling for each of those two councilors, they can't win the vote in their own wards.
Okay, Paul, what do you think?
I've said this before and on this show with Bruce that I don't see a problem with going to ward only. Although it was interesting that the Star said, well, we could do at large, both in the primary and the general, mm-hmm. and still be okay. And
yeah.
That's interesting. I hadn't really thought too much about that. But, you know, ward only, I have no problem with. I mean, it would frankly create a permanent Democratic majority on the council, with the four other wards being heavily Democratic. And the two East Side wards are actually in competitive in an election. So I don't have a problem with it. The only thing is Bruce may want to, and I've warned people that if you go to that, that means that people in the more Democratic wards may elect people who are more liberal in those primaries. Because
I mean, you could have a more liberal councilman.
Oh yeah,
than Rashida Romero and Karen Ulick.
No, well, yeah. I mean, you could have a majority that's much more liberal because they don't have to run in the citywide and in a more moderate voting electorate. So, you know, there's pros and cons to any system, but I have no problem with ward only. And the only thing I would say is that I disagree with the Star is, you know, I do believe in partisan races, and the only reason I believe in that is because a lot of voters, especially in those races like city council, that people don't pay as much attention to the candidates as other races like presidential races, is that people won't have a sense of where a particular candidate's coming from, at least if they don't know much about the candidates when they go and vote. If they see a D or an R or a Green Party or a Libertarian next to the name, they get a sense of what their politics is, and then they can vote with a little bit more information than would normally be if it was nonpartisan.
Yeah, and Paul makes a good point with respect to partisan elections. We don't see any kind of an increase in turnout in nonpartisan elections. In fact, it sort of led to a general decline when you look at it all over the country. They should be partisan elections, and there's no question, in my opinion, that the argument made by some that the city council members represent the entire city, no, they don't. They represent their ward, and there's been no greater example of that other than when Grand Canyon College and that whole thing came up about a year or so ago. It was Rahina Romero who had initially championed, and it was Rahina Romero later who decided that wasn't a deal that she wanted to back, and everybody else backed off as soon as she backed off that deal. You know, the argument that city councilmen represent the entire community, well, maybe they should do a better job. But the fact of the matter is that human nature is human nature, and you tend to be, you know, ward-centered on how you do things. And I've worked with a lot of the council members in other wards, and they are definitely looking out for the good business things and good, you know, results on their own wards.
And that's why I don't think the Star's suggestion of at-large for both primary and general works, because you wouldn't necessarily get somebody representing a particular part of town.
Yeah. And lastly, if I can just maybe make one more point with respect to a composition, there's been two things suggested. One is a Louisiana-type jungle primary, where you would have a citywide primary and the top two in each of those wards run for the final. That would not lead to greater representation, and it's a mess in places where they do it. Voters in this state actually rejected that on a statewide basis. Next is that the way that it's set up now, Paul and Bruce, or Paul and Bill, is that...
yeah, you're Bruce.
is that... You know, let's say Shirley Scott is running in her ward, Ward 4, okay? She gets the nomination, you know, from her ward, and then if she was Martha McSally, she would have got her nomination in CD1 but had to run statewide, okay?
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, I mean, it's sort of the same thing here in Tucson. It doesn't make any sense, and I think that's part of where the 9th District was going with their arguments that they made in the 2-1 decision that came down last
week.
And
Bill, I would say the other thing I disagree with the Star is I think if we're going to put it on the ballot, we should put it on the November ballot where more people are going to be voting in a presidential race so that everybody participates in that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that is the fairest way to do it, because we want the most people to have an opportunity and be motivated to come out and cast a vote.
Exactly.
But could the council, well, they'll probably appeal it, could they decide not to put it on the ballot and just change, say, primary and general election all
I think it's because of the charter change. It has to be done by the voters.
But this was struck down as being unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose maybe that may change it. I'm not sure how the legal wrangling on that would be for the charter change.
Right.
Itself.
It's not, you know, it's far different than kind of a regular lawsuit that was filed.
Yeah.
It was found to be unconstitutional. And we've seen how that has, you know, changed how laws and so on are followed.
Right. But it's certainly a change has to take place if it's not challenged on appeal. The change has to take place before the next city election.
Yeah. It would show good sense. It would show a move to diversity and more debate, and something that the city of Tucson should look at for the future.
Okay, Bruce and Paul, we'll end it right there with our Monday Political Face-Off. I hope both of you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
You bet.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and his family do such a great job. They specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, you can also find them on Facebook. 12:30 now on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, with live streaming at kvoi.com and buckmastershow.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on a rather chilly, blustery day, and we don't get a chance to say that very often in Tucson, Arizona. It's 12:34 on this Monday afternoon. We're so proud to launch a new monthly interview segment. This will be our second month doing this, and we call it our Arizona Business Journal, presented by some really fine folks that really do care about the businesses in this community, and that is the Better Business Bureau of Tucson and Southern Arizona, which Ryan Foster is the media relations specialist with the BBB. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing real well, thank you. You have some really big events coming up, and I see that the nominations now are getting ready and open for something you call the Torch Awards. What are the Torch Awards?
Well, the Torch Awards is our annual award ceremony where we honor different businesses in three different categories. Those categories are ethics, good neighbor, also known as community involvement, and customer excellence. So we put on the show every year. This year it'll be at Casino del Sol Resort in May, and we're really looking forward to it.
And is this a difficult process if someone would like to get involved with nominating someone?
We really hope not. we hope that people can just go on our website. There's a button at the bottom of the page. If you go to tucson.bbb.org, there will be a button. It'll take you right to the nomination form. It'll take you 2 minutes to fill that thing out. And anyone can fill this out. We want all businesses to nominate themselves or nominate someone that they know would be good for the award. It's very easy.
The nomination period open now until when?
December 16th.
That's a good day. That's my birthday.
Oh, well, cool.
So
maybe
there
we
you
did
go.
It that way.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about this event. This has really been kind of your signature event, this Torch Ethics Awards.
Yeah. So we've been putting on this award program for in one form or another since 2002. And for the first time ever this year, it's going to be a dinner event. So in the past, it's just been a lunch. And this way, it's going to give people to be a little more relaxed. They can hang out for a while, maybe go to the casino after if they'd like to. So we'll have a great MC. We're going to have a speaker. And then we'll have the dinner and then the award ceremony.
And that event also is a personal date for me, May 5th, right?
Yes.
That's my wedding anniversary.
Wow.
And it's also, of course, I know, what are the chances, right? Cinco de Mayo,
yes.
So that'd be a really fun evening. So you have the dinner, and then are you looking for, like, potential sponsors to
yes.
to be involved in this?
Yeah, so we're looking for sponsors at any level right now, and honestly, anyone can get involved with this at any level. We want everyone to be involved because this is for the businesses. This is a great way to promote yourself. Last year, almost every local news outlet helped us get the word out about this. And this year, we're distributing our program in 24,000 copies of Biz Tucson.
Wow.
So it's a great opportunity for some great exposure for your business.
And you are expecting hundreds of people, right?
We're expecting 600. Well, at least I hope so. We're getting 60 tables, so I hope they show up.
And the best way, again, would be to go to your website?
Yeah, tucson.bbb.org. Again, there's a button at the bottom of the page, or you can go to Programs and Services. You'll find a microsite there for the Torch Awards.
How about some of the past winners? These may be some businesses that some of our listeners already do business with.
Yeah, we're very proud of the businesses who have won these awards in the past. And some of those winners last year's actually were AGM Container Controls, Nicolosi Movers, and Underhill Financial Advisors. We also had a few others in the past years like Nova Home Loans, Snell & Wilmer, Golden Eagle Distributors.
What are some of the events that, or what are some of the areas that the judges look at in selecting one of the winners, Ryan?
Well, for ethics, they're going to look at your company and see how well your integrity is, see if you've had past problems. If you don't, then you're probably a great proponent for this category. Also, for the good neighbor category, we look at to see what how you're involved in the community, what you're doing with like nonprofits. And for customer excellence, that one's pretty self-explanatory. We want to make sure that you're treating your customers right and following through and making sure you're doing the right thing.
Can any business, does any business qualify, or does it have to be a BBB member?
The only one that we want for the businesses to be accredited with is the, it's the Customer Excellence Award.
Customer Excellence.
Yes.
Ryan Foster is with us. Ryan is the Media Relations Specialist with the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. So we've got the very big event, the Torch Ethics Awards, and then you've got some other things coming up, other events that you would like to tell our listeners about.
Yes, we actually have an event coming up tomorrow night. It'll be at El Charro in Oro Valley from 5:30 to 7:30. There's going to be free food. There's going to be some great networking that you can do. We're inviting anyone who wants to come out to bring a couple of canned food items, which we're going to be donating to youth on their own. And we're expecting 40 to 50 business owners. So if you'd like to come, you can register on our website. Or you can just show up, and we'll take you that way too.
So these mixers are a great opportunity for folks to kind of do some networking.
Yeah, we hope that people can go to these and meet each other, and if they require the services that those people offer, then that's great. That's we've done our mission.
So that is tomorrow night at El Charro in Oro Valley from 5:30 to 7:30. Free food. That should be incentive enough to get folks.
Yes. I mean, that'll get me there.
I mean, I love El Charro. It's awesome. So that's going to be a good event. And if folks can't make it tomorrow night, you've got something coming up in December.
Yes. We have one on December 17th. We are not sure on the location yet, but we're going to, well, it'll be good, whatever we pick. And for that one, we're also going to be benefiting youth on their own again, but that one will be a toy drive.
Tell me a little bit about what the Better Business Bureau, what kind of services do you offer to a business?
For businesses, we want to make sure that you're getting the exposure that you deserve as a great accredited business with us. So we allow you to put the little Torch logo on your website or your printed materials to show people that you are an ethical, good company to work with. We also offer a lot of free classes to help you grow your business. We want to highlight you as best we can, and we love working with you and partnering with you on these types of mixers and things like this.
And your website is really a great resource if a consumer has some has possibly wants to do some home remodeling or whatever. Right. It's a great place to start, isn't it, Ryan?
Yes. So for our website, tucson.bbb.org, you can go to our accredited business directory. You can type in a category of a service that you want, or you can actually check out an individual business to see what their rating is, to see their reviews, just to see if they've had any complaints or anything like that. So you can make sure you're picking the right person.
And you've got a huge organization behind you, the National Better Business Bureau, which really has been around a long time.
103 years.
Yes. And there is so much research that is done on a national level that helps you and your colleagues here at the Tucson
right.
office.
I actually got a call the other day from the Connecticut Better Business Bureau, and she asked me about a local company that is headquartered here. And we worked together to figure out that company actually had a fraudulent website that they were running. So we were making sure that people aren't getting scammed and making sure they're actually picking the right business.
Yeah, that's another huge area that the BBB can help out with in identifying scams.
Oh, yeah. As soon as I see a pattern of scams or something like that, I make sure to get the word out to the media as soon as possible because I don't want people to be affected like it.
And unfortunately, with the holidays coming up, the scammers say, oh, this is my opportunity to scam somebody.
Absolutely. People are a little more loose with their wallets this time of year, so it makes scamming a little easier.
Okay. Ryan, thank you so much. And let's again summarize. We've got the Torch Awards that will be coming up Cinco de Mayo on May 5th, the 2016 Torch Awards. But more importantly, for this time being, you're accepting the nominations on your website, tucson.bbb.org, in three different categories. And again, that's ethics,
good neighbor, and customer excellence.
Okay. And again, go to tucson.bbb.org. Ryan Foster, a pleasure talking with you, and good luck with the BBB. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Ryan Foster with us on The Buckmaster Show. It's coming up now on 12:43 on The Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mark Sykes is next. He heads up the Planetary Science Institute, which is based right here in Tucson, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garber. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
@12:47 on the Buckmaster Show. Experience the solitude of the Gila, the nation's first wilderness. The Silver City area offers escape from the ordinary. Walk through the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, hike in the Gila National Forest, swim in the Gila River, relax in a hot spring, visit Silver City's historic downtown with its many galleries, antique stores, museums, and restaurants. There is so much to do, and it's only about a 3-hour drive east of Tucson, with some really fine accommodations in the area like Bear Mountain Lodge and Agave Ridge Retreat, just to name a couple of the more than really two dozen great accommodations in Silver City, check out their fine website at southwestnewmexico.org. Has all the listing of the places to stay and the many things to do. Dr. Mark Sykes is the CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, which was founded right here in Tucson in 1972. It is a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes is former chair of NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group. Dr. Sykes is very involved in the development of commercial human space flights. During his amazing career, he's discovered comet dust trails, identified banks of interplanetary dust arising from asteroid collisions, and determined the temperature of Pluto. But more importantly, he's a nice guy, and he's with us on the live line. How are you doing, Mark?
Oh, I'm doing just fine, Bill. I'm sorry I'm not there in person. It's always great to, you know, be seeing you up close and personal.
Well, let me ask you about what many people have wondered forever since time began. Of course, we know that water covers more than two-thirds of the Earth's surface, but the exact origins of that water are still something of a mystery, aren't they, Mark?
It is a very interesting question, and of course, since we depend on water, then we're very interested in the answer. And it has been long thought that because Earth is in a fairly warm zone, that water wouldn't accumulate on it when the Earth was forming, because it was just too hot. You don't have pieces of ice floating down, and so we're on the inside of the snow line. But now there's some scientists that are making the case that actually there could have been water, very small scale, water molecules sticking to dust particles that then accreted to form the Earth, and that's where our water comes from.
And a lot of this research that was done by the University of Hawaii on, I believe this is the campus on the main island of Oahu, they were looking at some rocks from Baffin Island. And for folks that don't know where Baffin is, just find a globe and go north. It's way up there in Canada. But what was the evidence, Dr. Sykes, that they found up there on Baffin?
Well, they're looking at inclusions that contain some water, hydrated water, from different depths within the Earth that rose from very deep down, as well as some rocks that came from higher up in the Earth's crust, and they found that there really wasn't a difference in the isotopic makeup of that water. And so if water came in from comets or from carbonaceous asteroids impacting the Earth after it formed, and that would have formed in a different part of the solar system, and so it could be expected to have a different isotopic balance of like deuterium and hydrogen, then you'd expect to see a difference from rocks that are from near the surface and rocks that are from very deep in the interior of the Earth. But they didn't see that difference. And so that suggests that, well, maybe it all came from the same place that the Earth formed.
Well, it's certainly an exciting discovery. And one, do you think that, Mark, that this is the kind of technology that really would not have been possible a few years ago to even shed new light on the origins of the Earth's water?
Yeah, we are a slave to the technology, the tools that we have at the moment, and as our ability to explore or examine materials like these kinds of rocks improves, it may answer some old questions, but it is almost guaranteed to raise new questions.
Dr. Mark Sykes with us on the Buckmaster Show live line from the Planetary Science Institute right here in Tucson. We sometimes complain of windy days here in Tucson. We sometimes issue advisories when the wind goes over 30 or 35 miles an hour. How about a wind velocity of 5,400 miles, 5,400 mile per hour winds discovered hurtling around the planet outside the solar system?
Well, it wasn't quite that fast because it's only kilometers per hour.
But oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, 5,000, please. and it's in the it's in a planetary atmosphere, but it's in this exoplanet, a planet around another star, that is super Jupiter. It's like 10 times bigger than Jupiter, but it's also 180 times closer. And so it's only about 4 or 5 million kilometers away from the center of its star, and that is a very toasty area. It's like being in the outer reaches of the star, and so you can imagine that one side of the planet is really hot, and that on the dark side of the planet it's a little cooler, and so that drives these amazing super hurricane type winds, and would probably make it a very interesting place to actually see.
Well, a quick calculation here about kilometers. So we're talking still, even though I said it was over 5,000 miles per hour, it's actually, it would be about more than 3,000 miles per hour. And so we're still talking. Yeah, we're still talking about a wind that is 20 times faster than anything that has ever been recorded on Earth. But I mean, it's exciting because it really, Mark, it's the first ever weather map of a planet outside our solar system.
That's right. It just shows, again, like we were talking about just a moment ago, that as our tools become more sophisticated and techniques become more sophisticated, we start seeing amazing things elsewhere in the universe and in our own solar system and even within our own Earth. And so this is, I think, the harbinger of things to come as we start learning more and more about the details of these other worlds beyond the fact that they're points of light.
And we're also learning that they're in the main belt asteroid district, showing evidence of a March collision. I guess this was a pretty sizable collision, but we're still we're actually learning just a very few details about it that have come to light over the past few days, correct?
Yeah. Well, so when this object was first noted, it had this kind of plume of dust and thought, oh, it's a comet. But the dust was moving in the wrong way. And because if it's a comet and it's micron size, real powdery stuff, then that stuff gets blown away by solar radiation pressure away from the direction of the sun, whereas this stuff was moving closer to the orbit itself, which was almost in the opposite direction. And so that had to be bigger particles that were ejected in a particular direction, and the best way of explaining that is an impact. And so actually seeing the very near-term consequences of two things running into each other in the main belt is pretty unique. But it's not totally unique because it was also seen by Space Telescope a few years back where again, it saw an object that, oh, maybe this is a comet. Then you look at the dust pattern, it's like, whoa, that's not a comet. There's something very weird going on here. And it was clearly impact-driven.
I was going to say, time for a quick call here. David has called us on the live line for Dr. Mark Sykes. Go ahead, David. You're with Dr. Sykes.
Yes, I had a question about Sears' specialty is small bodies. I had a question about Sears. A few questions. If you were standing on Sears and jumped, how high would you jump? And is Sears beyond the frost line? And how warm would the sun feel on Sears? Is it would it appear a lot dimmer than from the Earth?
On asteroid Cirrus?
Ceres.
Ceres.
Yeah, where the Dawn mission is orbiting right now.
Yes.
And we're getting some very nice views of it. Ceres is a lot less massive than the Earth. I think its gravity is only a few hundredths of the Earth's gravity. So if you can only jump a foot and a half, then you'd be jumping much, much higher, probably 20 times higher, on Ceres.
Temperature was the other question, I believe.
Yeah. Well, the Ceres is kind of straddling the snow line. At its furthest distance from the sun, it's beyond the 3 AU, 3 astronomical units. Its closest distance to the sun, it's inside of that belt. It likely formed at a greater distance and then just got kind of shoved into its current orbit. Because it does have a significant fraction of water ice that it's made up of, that we've determined from its shape and its rotation rate and to get an equilibrium figure.
It'd be fun. It'd be fun to play a basketball game there if you can
Yeah. Then I would be competitive. But
jump 20.
Sirius is also interesting because we've recently found the pyramid on Sirius, which is not a pyramid. It's what could be a cryovolcanic volcano, the remnant of one, the core of one, and then there's the great white spot on Sirius, which we're arguing about what is causing that, whether it's communication with a deep interior ocean that's coming up to the surface, or maybe the impact of the crater that formed it melted a bunch of very salty water underneath the surface. That water's leaking out to the surface. It sublimes and it leaves this bright, salty rime like you see around Old Faithful. So Dawn is moving into its low altitude mapping orbit, and we'll be going from a resolution of about 140 meters per pixel to 35 meters per pixel, and hopefully at this higher resolution, more questions will be answered, but we're guaranteed, again, that more questions will be asked as well.
Mark Sykes, thank you very much from the Planetary Science Institute. Thanks a lot. Dr. Sykes with us on the live line. You can find out more at PSI, planetaryscienceinstitute.edu. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4 to 5 in the afternoon with our host, Mike Shaw. Ray Allen will be on the other side of the glass for that one as well. Tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, The Daily Double, Christy Simone, and a different guest host every day. Then Talk of the Town with Sean McCluskey, 9 to 10. And then me, I'm up to the plate at 12:04 with The Buckmaster Show. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.